Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
Jordan.
What is your favorite tchotchke?
My favorite? What do you mean?
Do you know what a tchotchke is?
Like a little trinket?
Like, yeah. Have you ever had a trinket? Have you ever gone to one of those souvenir stores and bought one and had it carry with you throughout the rest of your life, you know?
No.
When you were a kid, maybe you went to Universal Studios, your dad got you the little
penny
license plate with your name on it, something like that? No?
Nope.
How about any kind of antique store? Something like that?
Nope. Oh, I mean,
you totally told me you like radios.
Well, yeah, I mean, the closest thing to that is when I was in Austin, we went to just some sort of a vintage shop and I ran into a guy who, fixes old radios and I got sold on a really old radio that looks fucking awesome. But I think I've talked about that on the show already.
Have you?
I
wanted you to have some sort of some sort of figurine or something.
Well, I mean, I got that Cthulhu statue.
Yeah, that's true.
I've had that for a few years.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That is pretty good.
I don't know. Oh, and my buddy Matt Riggs, when he got married, I was in his wedding party. And he made those Funko dolls.
Oh yeah, you got one of those. That's fantastic.
Of all of the people who were in the wedding party, I cherish that. I think that's a really cool. It's not quite. I wouldn't call it a tchotchke, but
have you ever been in those stores and wanted to
I don't
one?
Know what you're talking
You've
about.
You've never been into one of the souvenir shops.
No, I
like
have,
that.
But it's never appealed to me.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I guess probably because I spent some of my time growing up in Hawaii, and there's so many, touristy things
around. Oh, that's
around.
A good point.
Like, I lived in Honolulu, and, obviously tourism's a huge part of the industry there and stuff like that, and the local economy, and so it always appeared very, stupid to me, and, these are the fucking people who are just coming in and enjoying our beaches, not like me.
You're a townie.
Yeah, somewhat.
All right.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's sort of my resistance to it.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
This started off weirdly confrontational, but I think we're good at it.
I don't think it's confrontational. I'm just you seem to not believe that I'm not.
I just everybody has something, man.
I don't know that I do. Trying to think.
Oh man.
No, I don't think I do.
We're flying to your parents' house. I bet I could find something there.
Maybe.
Actually, no. I've been in your parents' house. I don't even know if they have
anything. Anything of mine? No. Yeah. I highly doubt it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Highly doubt it. I was just there not too long ago, and I didn't recognize much of anything.
Fair.
So this is a podcast where I don't like tchotchkes, and I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I do like tchotchkes.
You and Joni love Chachi.
We both love Chachi.
And you don't know much about Alex
Jones. And I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
Today, Jordan, we're back in the old past. We're back in 2012, taking a look at Alex Jones, or 2013 now. January 2013, we're going over January 3rd and checking in on how Alex responded and reported on things in the aftermath of Sandy Hook. But before we get to today's show, I'd like to take a little moment out of our time to give a thank you and a shout out to some people who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, O_Ryo, you are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I bet that's a reference to something, and we're just old.
That is undoubtedly.
We're just old, Dan. You and I are dying.
Yep.
Yeah, we're dinosaurs.
Next, Josh. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you very much, Josh.
Next, no. Oh, wait. See,
just,
this is
just no.
It's N-O-E, so I thought it might be Noe, but then I realized that the last name is also a joke. It's no thanks. But thanks is spelled T-H-A-I-N-K-S. So it's no thanks, but both worlds. Anyway, thank you. You're a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much. No
thank
thanks.
Thank you very much. People are starting to take advantage of this system.
Yep. Next, Justin. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you very much, Justin.
And finally, I'd like to say thank you to somebody who donated on a little bit of an elevated level. We appreciate it oh so very much. So Dennis, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bah, 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 bah. Jar Jar Binks has a
Caribbean
black accent.
Black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Dennis.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
If you're out there thinking I like this show, would like to support what these guys do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking that button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
Please do. It'd be kind.
Apologies that we didn't have an episode on Wednesday. Moving is a pain in the ass. Little things come up.
All kinds.
Little things come
all
up.
All kinds.
Scheduling, planning gets
dangerous.
Completely out of whack. Things you don't expect to pop up become nuisances. We appreciate your patience. We are here, we are moving forward.
Absolutely.
So, like I said, we're back in 2013 looking at this post-Sandy Hook business. And as such, it would only be appropriate for us, and I think people would probably scream at their phones, if we didn't bring up the fact that This American Life just did their piece.
Oh,
did a
yeah.
piece about yeah, Alex yeah, yeah. Jones. A two-part little right. thing, two segments, a lot of people have asked for our thoughts. So, what, Jordan? You gave it a listen. What were your first feelings on it?
Oh, Alex is lying, and people who remember him, they didn't like him.
Yeah,
they didn't like him.
Yeah.
So we, I think that's it. I think I got it.
I think so. I think that yeah. was probably.
And he's a monster.
Sure.
Yeah.
Some of the most essential pieces of the coverage I think you've covered. The first half about Sandy Hook and Mr. Posner were, that was sort of tough to listen to in terms of hearing his struggle through.
Yeah.
You don't always hear that his personal perspective of how the whole situation affected him. And these sort of narratives that are brought into the world, the actual first-person damage that's done.
Well, I mean, you kind of, maybe not intentionally, but somewhat subconsciously go out of your way not to hear that voice.
Mm.
Because you know, like, hypothetically, the act is so monstrous that to then have it brought into the real world in its stark truth is kind of heartbreaking. Like, listening to it is truly just... How can somebody do this?
Right.
Like the entire time.
How can somebody be so unaware of the effect that they have
on the
horrible things they're bringing into someone's life? Yeah, that's tough. But it's also kind of in the realm of like we've talked about these things. It's kind of, in terms of the information base of our podcast, there's, that's not too new. But that stuff with John Ronson at the end where they're talking about Alex's origin story.
Yeah.
That was really fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Because they did some journalism that we couldn't do. The idea of going and finding these people that Alex went to school with.
Yeah.
The idea of, Alex has one story. Five other people have
same story together.
Yes.
That's different that's from his story.
100%
yeah,
from his.
Yeah, yeah. I think my favorite guy was the guy who found out that he and Trump loved each other, and he was just like, I don't know if I want to believe that.
The guy who Alex beat the shit out of?
Yeah.
Almost killed?
Yeah.
The stories that the people from his school tell match up pretty well with some of the hero stories that Alex has.
Yeah.
Just without the Alex being picked on part to justify him beating the shit out of people and being a complete monster. Also, the idea of him running around the school saying he's a Satanist matches up almost entirely with Alex's got lured into Satanism when I was younger.
Yeah, that was fun.
Stuff. So, like, even a lot of that stuff isn't really new to our information base, but hearing the people who he, threatened when he was younger and stuff like that. That stuff is really – that's tough.
The thing that rang the most true was when the woman was talking about how he used to describe in detail all the ways that he would threaten her with sexual violence of some sort. And it was like,
it sounds a lot like a lot of his broadcasts.
Have you ever heard his fantasies about what the globalists will do to you? They'll take you down into the basement and they'll grab you and they'll touch you and put you in all those. When she said
and
that,
I'm
I was
sure,
like, yeah, he did that shit.
And I'm sure she doesn't listen to his show to know that that's a big part of his performance.
Yeah, that's still his still his bag.
Yeah, there was so much that rang so true from those people talking, from just the sense that we've been able to get of him from looking at him. Awful.
Yeah, it was awful.
And to hear Alex be so unfazed by him, like, there's a bunch of liars. Like, that sort of thing is just so, like, it just makes you realize that there's no point where you're going to come up with the piece of information,
yeah.
the proof that he's full of shit,
right.
and to be like, eh, you got me.
There's never gonna going to be, yeah. Yeah, that's never going to happen. No. Even, and even when you're interviewing him with, and you're John Ronson, who did a very good job on the piece.
Yeah.
But while he's interviewing Alex, he's like, and let me tell you about, I'm not going to do his voice.
Please
that's,
don't.
That's disrespectful. If I was good at it, I would still do it.
Sure.
But while he was talking to Alex and he told him the story of how Alex is a huge asshole, Alex turns around and is like, yeah, but what about you and me? I've never been anything
been
but,
sweet.
And it's like, hold on. You just did the whataboutism for your own life.
Right, right. And it's like, Alex has always known that John Ronson is a media figure. Like, he came into his life as a reporter who,
right.
like, went along with him, and like, was covering him for a piece.
Right.
So why wouldn't Alex always be nice to him? He knows that he has a platform.
A sympathetic ear.
Or he has a platform to be like, Alex beat the shit out of me. Mm. Like, and put it in the paper. Alex, it's never in his best interest to be a dick to John Ronson.
Of course not.
So him being like, haven't I always been nice to you? Is like, haven't I always been strategic about our relationship?
Right, right, right.
That's all I hear there.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
And also Alex said he's still Joe Rogan's best friend. So there you go.
That's good.
We all know the truth.
So I thought it was a very interesting insight. And I think it was, you know, tough, but at the same time, you know, ultimately proof that there is no, positive outcome to any of this. and also, but
that's the saddest thing you've ever said.
I've kind of already known that for a while.
Fair.
But it's hard to see it demonstrated so fully on NPR.
Right.
But and also, like, it is just reaffirming of our instincts aren't too bad.
No, I think we got it. I think after 2 years of listening to this idiot talk, we've got a pretty good idea of what his high school buddies are going to say.
Yeah. So, Jordan, like I said, today we're going into January 3rd, 2013. And up till this point, we've seen him pretty much transition away from talking about Sandy Hook, really, at all.
Yeah.
It's all just gun paranoia. They're coming to get your guns. It's going to start a civil war. Boo-boo-boo. And let's see where he goes on the third. Who knows? Maybe it'll turn even weirder.
You know.
But, first we have an out of context drop from today's show.
I use white propaganda, so I want to be clear about terms.
We know. Yeah.
What terms could you be clearer about?
Well, that doesn't mean what it immediately sounds like.
I use white propaganda.
Right.
Which is propaganda made by whites for whites. It's like FUBU, but it's propaganda.
See, now you're not being clear about terms.
Mm.
He'll explain it later, but whatever you think and suspect that means, that's actually what it means.
Okay.
So in this first clip that we're going to listen to, we enter into Alex's obsession on this episode. I think someone has recently explained that gaslighting is a thing.
Oh, well, that's nice of him to find out in 2013.
And Alex is completely obsessed with the idea. He talks about it for almost the entire show while he gaslights his audience.
Right.
Extremely.
It's like he's surprised that he's like, whoa, 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 somebody made a name for what I do? Well, I have to talk about it.
It's very weird. And here's the first clip where when I was listening through this, I cut this clip because I didn't know, like, towards the end of the show, in the middle of the show, he's just going to keep talking about gaslighting. So I pulled this clip specifically just to illustrate, like, Alex is aware of what gaslighting is.
Yeah.
And I thought that was enough. But as this goes on, it just, oh, God, it's so bad.
Guys, I sent you probably 50 IMs, and it's clear there's a problem. You need to reload that. Because I had the definitions in the history of gaslighting. It's a political term. So if that's not in there, I need you to go
Thanks, buddy. Get me
just the top four or five up. You know, the use of gaslighting, the psychological term gaslighting, because I want to cover gaslighting. It's just one term to cover a game the globalists play, and they define it as gaslighting. And it's when you walk in and you find your wife in bed with another man, and she says, there's no man here, and the guy gets up, dresses, and walks out. They've psychologically found most people will actually go, well, am I crazy? That's not a guy right there. And because of denial, how we've been programmed through television, gaslighting is more and more effective today than it's ever been.
I think that's an extreme example. I got another example, telling people that you never said that Sandy Hook people were actors. they're constantly telling people while there's evidence to the contrary. I would say that's an extreme version of gaslighting that you carried out and perpetuated on that This American Life episode.
I was going to say, I was about to ask, is the next clip him being like, and to give you a better example of gaslighting, I'm going to play clips from my show yesterday.
See my catalog of work.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he basically just explains it like that and says that it's a trick that the globalists use. And because of TV and everyone being dumb or whatever, it works more. They don't get his instant messages or whatever, so he can't cover the story because he doesn't have anything in front of him, and that's about all he knows.
Yeah.
So he starts talking about how Piers Morgan sucks.
That's evergreen territory.
Sure. So Piers Morgan, Alex has started a petition to get him deported, as we know from our previous episodes.
It's going
great. Very excited about this.
Obama did it.
And in response, Piers Morgan has invited Alex to be on his show.
God, what an idiot.
We did an episode about the actual interview that they do.
Yeah.
But it comes up on the 7th of January. So it's only a few days away. Alex on the 3rd is very aware, and in this next clip you can tell, he's clearly aware that he's mostly doing this for publicity.
Even around here, when I told my crew that they've officially set me up for the 7th with Piers Morgan, people are like, incredible. And of course, they're thinking it'll be a big news event because we'll have an argument or something. And that is how Piers Morgan actually does have an audience. His actual show doesn't have an audience. The derivative of it does get picked up and put on a lot of other channels. That's why he's number one on CNN, is that he at least knows
to
have enough controversy and people he disagrees with on to try to get some viewers. So, I mean, it's a good move by the Pentagon that on record runs CNN. That's come out in the Washington Post even. That it's run by the Department of Defense and is basically a PSYOP operation out of Atlanta, New York, and Los Angeles and D.C.
Is that gaslighting?
Did the Post say that
they broke that
the
story.
Pentagon has a PSYOP operation through CNN?
You bet.
I don't even believe Piers Morgan was number one on CNN.
Yeah, I find that he might have been for a time.
I don't believe any
he might have been
that.
For a short time.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
But Alex is recognizing exactly what he is going to bring to Piers Morgan's show. He's
like,
it's going to be a big thing because we're going to get into a fight, and then there's going to be clips of it everywhere.
Right.
He's ascribing Piers Morgan's motives as being like, he's going to have that fight so he gets more ratings. That's also what you're doing, Alex.
Yeah, that's entirely
don't pretend this is anything other than that.
That's not a Piers motive. That's a Piers motive.
Right.
All right.
It's a transparent motive. So apparently the Illinois State Senate at this point is considering a bill to ban all firearms.
Hey, good for you, Illinois State Senate.
Sandy Hook. The NRA is warning about this. Alex has heeded the warning.
Of course.
And he covers the story in perhaps one of the most extreme ways imaginable.
We told you yesterday Illinois was going to introduce a bill. According to the NRA, they've done it. It's out of committee, set to pass today. Looks like it may pass right now to make all people in Illinois turn their semi-autos in and pump. Everything but bolt action is going to be turned in. And they've got your FOID card. They know where to come get your gun. So they're coming. And it'll be on the news, the trucks and the police and people resisting being killed. And it'll be patriotism to kill American gun owners. And they deserve it. They did Sandy Hook, and they're all Klan members anyways. Remember when that month ago they were calling us Klan members and murderers? You're like, that makes no sense. Why are they just saying that? Because they're demonizing us.
Oh, like you do with there is no moderate Islam. Hold on.
What are we gonna play?
I think
this
he's
game?
Gaslighting people.
I think he might be.
So that's pretty extreme. The idea of like they're gonna pass this in the Illinois State Senate, and then they're going to start killing gun owners when they won't turn in their guns. And I mean, this is just that continuation of that extreme gun grab paranoia. I care not to engage. That's not with you, but not with his ideas. Hey, I don't care to engage with his ideas.
Hey, once Illinois outlaws everything but bolt action,
right?
Then you know North Carolina's next because North Carolina does everything that Illinois does.
Yeah.
And once North Carolina goes, so goes the South. Once Florida goes, Texas is next.
We all know.
After that, California has been, in this scenario, California has been ripped away from the United States by a massive earthquake.
Right.
A la Escape from L.A.
Okay.
But.
And it's patriotic for that earthquake to take California away.
Yeah.
I don't know. So in this next clip, Alex gets even more extreme, and he's talking about how the mainstream news has announced that there's going to be checkpoints that are permanent all over the place, And they will actually be...
Doesn't sound right.
Well, they'll actually be machine gun nests.
Okay. But the point is that I'm going to... It's just this country, folks. I've got mainstream news announcing checkpoints nationwide at permanent highway checkpoints. Like you've had 100 miles into the border, nationwide, you're going to drive up to police checkpoints. They're going to search you. TSA is going to be there. It's been announced. I've got those articles here. It's martial law, folks. And they're going to set up machine gun nest. You're going to be under machine gun point when you pull up to these. We're going under Fallujah control.
Fallujah control.
7 years on, see no evidence of machine gun nest checkpoints and Fallujah control in the United States. But I understand. I mean, he's afraid. He's very afraid. Of
so we're
something.
Just we're
he's afraid
just gonna,
of something.
We're just going to build the Berlin Wall over every highway.
I guess
every 100 miles there'll be a new giant machine gun nest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that clip is only worthwhile to demonstrate like how stupid so much of the stuff he says around like yeah. around this is. Like it's just that's cockamamie nonsense. The very idea of this, and that the mainstream media is announcing these checkpoints, we have machine
right.
guns.
Right.
It's absurd.
And the way that he used, announcing rather than reporting is such one of those small symbols of, you're fucking full of shit, because mm-hmm. you're ascribing them as being the state mouthpiece, you know.
Right.
They're
right.
announcing it on behalf of the government who told them to announce
it's
it
the because rollout.
They, cause the Pentagon owns CNN and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, after this point, he's claimed that he has these, the mainstream media is covering this stuff and announcing it. Excuse me.
Announcing it. They're not covering it.
And he pivots from there into like, justifying a ton of news stories on apocryphal stories that he's been told by either his coworkers or people who know his coworkers, which is even more flimsy than making up news stories,
so we're,
in
we're,
my estimation.
We're on third-hand sources now?
Yes, and this one is about one of his employees' girlfriends getting pulled over by the police. I don't believe most of this story.
Okay.
Police just randomly, I'm going to pull you over. Happened to Darren McBreen's girlfriend. She's driving all the way out of West Texas, you know, to come here and see him. She's on the same road. Cops pull him over, and they go, I saw you not use a turn signal. And she said, I've been on the same lane for over 100 miles. I didn't. He goes, let me just see your eyes. This is just a DWI, just randomly checking here. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, cops pull me over, know who I am, and ask if I'm drinking or if I have drugs or guns. And I just go, number one, I don't use products that your bosses ship in.
Nice.
Number two, I'm not dumb enough to be drinking and driving. Mm. And number three, I just don't even know what to say anymore.
That is a weird way.
There was
to,
no number three.
That's a weird way to talk to a cop.
Right.
Number one, hey, listen.
Right.
Listen up, pig.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I don't use any of the products from your government by which I am implying that it's Reagan.
Right.
Number two, I don't drink and drive. What am I, a dummy? I don't look at the back seat. There's a lot of open bottles of Wild Turkey. And number three.
Don't go to the future and watch some of my live streams where I appear to be quite drunk while driving an automobile.
And number three, officer, I don't even know what to say anymore.
I mean, it is weird. I mean, it's weird because he's telling the story about Darren McBreen's girlfriend and like, I mean, if that did happen, maybe she did swerve or something like that. I don't know. Or I'm also willing to believe that it was an overly capricious cop that was trying to meet a quota or something like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
That doesn't prove anything. That proves one cop was, acting a little bit overzealously.
Yeah.
Doesn't prove anything. Alex pivots from that to being like, I am also a victim of this.
Yeah, he does that really well.
Yeah, he does.
You
it's almost seamless.
You almost didn't even notice.
Yep.
Yeah, you were almost like, uh-huh. Yeah, I bet she said the same thing.
Yeah.
No, she did not.
No. Alex is telling a story about somebody else, realizes, I don't have a full grasp of the details. I don't really know this story very well. I don't listen to McBreen when he's talking, so I better make this about myself, because I can lie about myself pretty well. I got 3 points. I forgot the third one. I don't even know what to do anymore. Cool. This next clip is just an expression of the extremeness that he is putting into his rhetoric around this time at the beginning of 2013.
Is it a Mountain Dew commercial?
It's more extreme than that.
Oh, okay.
This is,
what?
I mean, Livewire doesn't even come close.
No. Are we talking Surge Cola levels?
It's close to Surge.
Okay.
So earlier you were saying that the Illinois State Senate is going to pass this bill and then they're going to be shooting gun owners and it's patriotic to do it and everyone will say hooray.
We'll all be having a great old time.
That's fucking extreme to put as an image into your listeners' minds based on nothing.
Yeah.
You know, that is pretty fucked up because it will catalyze a reaction in some way. Whether or not it's a reaction that people act on is another question, but you can't control that. You can't control how your audience responds to the extreme message that you're putting out. So that's irresponsible. This next clip, I think, is even worse. Because it's not about what somebody is going to do. It's what they're already doing. So if you understand, like, if you listen to this clip, it's not contingent on the Illinois State Senate banning guns or anything like that. We're already at the point where you should be killing these globalists.
Right. We're past that.
Yeah. And that is expressed in this clip.
Yeah. They're about to kill you for patriotism. So,
but they're already killing you.
Oh, no.
It's just, it's gone. It's gone. We have the biggest prison population. We have the highest cancer rate. They're killing us. We're being killed. Okay. And I've got all their White House science, czar book, eco-science, where they talk about how they kill us with cancer and kill us with stuff in the water. I mean, it just sterilizes us. Our sperm count's down 87% to 89%, and the women are dying, and highest rate of breast cancer in the world, and our kids are the most brain damage in the world from all the shots. And I'm a bad guy. I'm a mad dog for being upset about it. Let me continue here.
You're a bad guy because you're misrepresenting this stuff. He's talking about John P. Holdren's book, Ecoscience, and I've read the relevant portions in it. He's not talking about, like, advocating for or saying we should or saying that we do or saying it's a plan to put sterilants in the water and stuff like that. It is a textbook about eco-science.
Yeah.
And in a textbook setting, there are things that are like, some people have said this is an option. It's not discussed as a positive thing.
Yeah.
It's discussed as something that someone has said. And relevant context leads you to believe that it is dealt with as not a good idea.
Yeah.
So it's just bullshit. He's taking out of context passages from textbooks that he hasn't read the entirety of and being like, this is happening. They're killing us already. Like, if you hear that sort of thing and you actually believe him, why wouldn't you make a fucking splinter cell? Why wouldn't you form a terrorist group against the government? They're trying to kill you through the water.
Like, yeah. There's not much other recourse after that.
No, it's insane. And
man has always been battling the shores, Dan.
That is true.
But
it's a different kind of water.
But it's a different kind of water.
Right. And we take this as red a lot of the time, but like looking back at this period where like tensions are really high in the country in the aftermath of Sandy Hook, and there's that gun discussion that's going on about like, Jesus, this is fucked up that this has happened and it's happened before and we know it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
These sorts of things, like tensions are high. Some people have middle of the road arguments for being against gun control. Some people have middle of the road arguments for gun control. Some people have impassioned arguments for gun control. Some people like Alex have these impassioned arguments against gun control. And when you're in that, like that sort of tense space, bringing in stuff like this really, really is dangerous because you introduce an idea of an existential threat that's outside of that discussion even.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I just put myself in the headspace of someone who actually believes what he's saying. And I don't know how I wouldn't make a bomb or something like that. I'm not saying that all of his listeners would do that.
Right.
But like, it doesn't seem like a far cry from what he's hoping someone would do if they heard this.
Well, I mean, well, first, it is kind of a tacit acknowledgement from his listeners that none of what he's saying is actually true, in that we don't see a shit ton of these wars being started. Or
they're all incompetent.
Well, fair.
I mean, there could be a lot of people who, like, go two steps into trying to plan something and like, fuck, this is a lot of work.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Or, I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way because I'm glad that it could possibly be the case, but maybe a lot of them are cowards, you know, like.
Right.
So maybe there are a lot of people who do believe it, but don't have the whatever it would be that would lead them to take action.
45% of his listeners are too cowardly to build a bomb. 45% of his listeners have tried to build a bomb and stopped about halfway through. And then the final 10% have probably gone to a pizza place and shot up.
Could be. You know? I think if that's the case, then he has 10 listeners.
He has 10. Fair enough.
So.
Fair enough. I found all too much macabre humor in, when he said that America's kids are the most fucked up because of all the shots they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately after Sandy Hook, there's a double entendre there that is.
Oh, yeah.
Unintended, fucked up.
Yeah.
But very fucked up.
I just kind of leave alone some of the other stuff that he's bringing in, like talking about, like, hey, we have so many people in prison. Like, yep.
Yeah.
You bet.
Agreed.
That's such a, that's just a little, piece of decoration on your argument. You're not even concerned about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we get back now and Alex tells another story that I don't think is accurate about another one of his employees having a run-in with the police.
Listen, one of my graphics crew was out and I happen to know she doesn't even drink and they're out before New Year's, was it after Christmas, and they're driving home and she's a designated driver going out to eat. And they get them out, and they go, we're arresting you all. We can smell alcohol. And they go, well, I haven't been drinking. I'm a designated driver. They said, well, do a bunch of sobriety tests. And she did one and said, look, I've not been drinking. I told you. They said, that's it. You're DWI, too. They want to stick needles in you. And I'm going to get to the forced inoculations in a moment.
So, yeah, I think there's some details missing from that story.
I think there's a modifier missing between all right, now you've got a DUWI, too. They want to stick needles in you.
Well,
there should be something in between, right?
What he's talking about is that there are some places where if you get pulled over, I don't know how it goes state by state, but there are a number of states where if you get pulled over and they have suspicion of DUI, you refuse to take a breathalyzer, you refuse to do the tests, then they can force you to give blood. And part of the reason for that is that it will retain as evidence of whatever, and you have not cooperated with the police.
Right.
If they have a reasonable suspicion that you're drunk.
It's time-stamped, so to speak.
Yeah. Whereas if you don't do that, because I think the police had a long enough time where drunk drivers kind of realized that they could wait things out and their blood alcohol content would go down.
Yeah.
And so if you're oppositional defiant enough before they can do any kind of test, there isn't the proof of the underlying offense that the police need. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but that's the rationale for why they do it.
Right.
So I think that's what he's talking about. They want to put needles in you. I don't know what's going on with this story about his employee, but I don't believe it. Something's missing from this story.
No, if I understand the story correctly, she was driving. There were people in the car.
May have been drunk.
Who may have been drunk, may not have been drunk. We'll never know.
Sure.
While she was driving, herself completely sober,
she doesn't drink.
Driving completely normally with no red flags whatsoever, they are pulled over by the cops. The cops go in there and they say out loud they're charging the people in the car who are not driving with a DWI.
I think that the only way that this story is real, first of all, the people in the passengers, absolutely not. But the only way that this is true is if the people who were in the car were really fucked up and then the police were like, we gotta, you know,
somebody's got to do something.
There's so much, you could smell whiskey in this car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they pull her out of the car and they try and give her like a flashlight test or like make her walk the line. And she gets really combative with
two of them.
Well, that's one possibility.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
Or just refuses to cooperate in any way. And they're like, well, we need to take you to the station then. We need to give you a breathalyzer.
Right.
But you still wouldn't get charged with a DUI. Like, there's no way that piece of the story makes sense. But you can end up prolonging your engagement with the police if you don't, like, I'm not saying that's good. I don't think.
No. The police aren't necessarily notorious for just dropping stuff. That's not really, in certain cases, all too notorious for doing that. But when it comes to a DWI, they're usually going to be like, okay, we're going to have to keep going.
Yeah.
You're being a dick. Come on.
Yeah.
It's just,
if you're pulled over for a DUI and you're not drunk, you're not going to end up getting charged with it.
Unless you're a dick, in which case you might be charged with being a dick. Yeah.
Like if you hit a cop or something like that. Yeah. I had a buddy when I lived in Missouri who got pulled over for something or other he didn't do. Then it ended up swinging on a cop. And I'm like,
He swung on a cop?
Yeah, you're going to get arrested for that. He was like, I didn't do the thing I got in trouble for. Like, you hit a cop. You can't, like, you have to know that's a bad idea. He's like, they were being dicks to me. I'm like, yes, they were.
No, because the underlying charge wasn't real. That invalidates the swing I took at the cops. See?
I wish we lived
cause
in that world,
and effect.
But we don't. So
they were instigating.
Right. So Alex has earlier brought up this idea of these checkpoints, these permanent checkpoints that are being set up. He has not a great piece of news to back it up, some piece of proof, and he gets into it in this next clip.
And it goes on. San Antonio Deputy Police Chief Antonio Trevino appeared Monday in Austin before the Texas House Criminal Jurisprudence Committee. The San Antonio Express News reports he urged legislators to allow law officers to stop drivers and do routine sobriety tests near so-called drinking and driving hotspots, which is just everywhere. Again, they let you go drink in the bars. Humans have always done it. Texting and driving is 5 times more dangerous than MIT studies.
And humans have always done it.
It's all about getting you into the system. But if you're an illegal alien, they let you go.
Whoops.
What?
Whoops.
Huh?
Whoops there at the end.
Wait, what?
Hold up. You can also get in trouble for texting and driving. Like, that's something that you can get pulled over for, too.
So his argument
there doesn't make a ton of sense. But he's pretending here that he's reading an article about how San Antonio has put into place sobriety checkpoints. And the next step after this, without a doubt, is machine gun protected Fallujah-style blockades. One problem is that this article that he's quoting from is about the San Antonio Police Department asking for permission to put up sobriety checkpoints. It has no indication that they got permission to do it.
Ah.
Also, the local story out of San Antonio includes a ton of information that Alex conveniently forgets to mention in his reporting. For instance, as of 2012, Texas was one of only 12 states in the country that didn't offer police departments the option of setting up DUI checkpoints. Texas is consistently at the top of the rankings for most drunk driving related accidents and most drunk driving related deaths.
I don't think those two things are related at all.
Can't be. It's a hugely populous state, so it doesn't generally come in at number one on those lists that break down fatality rates and stuff like that per 100,000 residents.
Right.
But the state that does pretty much all the time is Wyoming, a state that also doesn't allow the police to conduct DUI checkpoints.
Huh.
The U.S. Supreme Court has decided that checkpoints are constitutionally allowed, provided that they serve a legitimate law enforcement purpose.
And you put in a requisition for your machine gun turrets.
True.
First.
Yes. There has to be paperwork.
It has to be paperwork.
Those 12 states have the absolute right to decide whether or not they want to allow the police to conduct these checkpoints within the state borders. And Texas has done that. However, that doesn't stop them from setting up checkpoints near the border, not on the border, but near the border, trying to catch undocumented immigrants in September 2013. An article in the Houston Chronicle from December 2013 discusses the DPS halting their use of checkpoints in the Rio Grande Valley, where they were accused of being specifically run to check people's immigration status, which would be against Texas law. The police department claimed that they had a completely different and very legitimate law enforcement reason to run those checkpoints, to which they were told, you gotta stop that. I would be very interested to hear Alex's take on this, but my gut tells me he wasn't super against those checkpoints. I imagine he was kind of ignored it, maybe not a story.
So some checkpoints are good and some checkpoints are bad.
I imagine.
That might be the case.
But whatever the case, this December 2013 Houston Chronicle article is pretty clear that the sobriety checkpoints that San Antonio wanted to set up were never set up. Quote, for more than a decade, the legislature has rejected proposals to allow roadside checkpoints, which typically target drunk drivers. During the last legislative session, San Antonio Deputy Police Chief Antonio Trevino urged a committee of lawmakers to allow permanent sobriety checkpoints in the state. If you read that, it's very clear that what they're saying is the legislature did not allow that. The thing that Alex is trying to make his audience afraid of didn't happen, or at least it didn't happen until about a year later, after this episode was recorded, and it was specifically used to target immigrants, which feels strangely consistent for Alex in his world.
It's like, I can get why you would be resistant to the DUI checkpoint if it is, like, if you're... I don't know, analogy to it would be the stop and frisk program in New York, you know?
Sure.
Where it's like, oh, they're just stopping innocent people and they're just looking for stuff to find on you.
There is a possibility of abuse, the stop. For sure.
Yeah, I can get that.
Totally.
But if it's well restricted, then
I also, even if it is well restricted, I have some questions about the efficacy of it. Because in Missouri, there were DUI checkpoints a lot of the time when I was a younger man.
Right.
And one of the things is I had a lot of friends who would travel with weed in the car and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of our friends, whenever you'd know that there was a checkpoint somewhere, you would call or text all your friends and be like, stay off Parkade.
Of course.
There's a DUI checkpoint there.
Of course.
Or we knew the places where there were speed traps and stuff like that. Like going to the Boonville Casino.
Right. Well, I think Waze, the app that gives directions, that gives live updating traffic directions and shit like that.
Yeah.
They also included DUI checkpoints on their app.
That seems counterproductive.
That's no good.
But what I'm saying is that you find alternate routes around things whenever you get warnings of the pop-up ones.
Of course.
And then there was one, the Isle of Capri Casino in Boonville.
Right.
It had a stretch of road coming to and from it that was notorious for, it had a lower, you're coming off a place where there was a high speed limit, and then it went lower.
Yeah.
And it was specifically there to catch people driving drunk coming out of the casino.
Yeah.
It was intentionally set up like that, and everybody knew it. So you minded your P's and Q's through that if you knew what was going on.
Of course.
And, you know, people who didn't know, if you're not drunk, they'll just let you off with a warning.
Yeah.
And if you are, you're going to get a ticket.
And even then, it's not that – I kind of don't think it's that bad if you're warning people where the checkpoint is. Because
But back then, Waze didn't exist.
No. I know. What I'm saying is the checkpoint is there to catch people who are drunk driving, ostensibly, right?
Right.
But if you are warned about the checkpoint, then the idea even then is you're going to use a less traveled road.
Right.
And that's going to, by statistical necessity, lead to fewer people.
Right.
Maybe you're going to get into an accident, but at least it's just fucking you, you know?
Right. And there are
you know what I'm saying?
There are some studies that I was able to find that did make the claim from their findings that states that put – like Tennessee was a big one that put in DUI checkpoints or put it into practice with the police, and their DUI-related accidents went down 20%. Or something like that.
That's worthwhile.
Right. But the reason that I don't cite that as proof that these checkpoints did that is because of kind of what you brought up. The idea of going down another road while you're drunk because you know there's a checkpoint over here doesn't make that driving less intrinsically dangerous.
Right. Of course.
Because you could still, I don't know, go into someone's front yard.
Oh, of course. Of course. Naturally.
Or you could kill yourself driving into a tree. That's still super dangerous.
Still awful.
If someone's out walking because it's a less busy street, you could hit them pretty easily.
Of course.
So there are still dangers. But yeah, the odds of making a bigger wreck on those side streets that you'd be favoring over where the blockade is or the checkpoint is, the numbers do seem to imply that it does work.
Well, regardless, no matter what we do, I think American history has borne this out pretty accurately. You're not going to stop people from driving drunk.
No.
That is not going to happen.
No matter how many mothers are mad about it.
Prohibition didn't even do it.
Nope.
If you can take as many steps to minimize the damage that causes because you know that it's going to be an issue, you know.
Right.
Then it's like secondhand smoke. People are going to smoke, but you shouldn't do it in a fucking diner.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And it does seem to, the numbers do seem to indicate that it does work in risk aversion or consequence minimizing.
Yeah.
But I'm not, and sometimes that is all you can hope for.
Right.
But I don't know.
It's better than nothing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a little bit of a, I am a little ambivalent on how I feel about it exactly, but.
Unless it's being abused, which as we know from our police force would never use it.
So now Alex starts complaining about hospitals. And he has some fair criticisms, I think, to some extent, but the conclusions that he makes with those criticisms are pretty inappropriate.
What's going on at the hospital? And I warned him, too, because it's a city-affiliated one. I said, don't go near it for your life. You got to go where rich people go because if you're going to go to a hospital because they don't feed on them yet. If you go to a big mainline mega hospital, folks, they see you as an animal. Or you better show up in diamond rings and top hats.
So I think that his criticism, it's not what he's saying, but I think his criticism that the sort of the healthcare business system as a whole does absolutely feed on poor people. And
oh,
they
for
catch
sure.
them under all of the, like the uninsured and,
right.
The idea that if you get it, like, I don't know, you fall down and break your leg accidentally, you can't get anywhere, an ambulance comes and picks you up, you're fucked for years.
Yeah.
Because of how much that ambulance ride costs.
Absolutely.
You. And then you have to go to the emergency room and you're fucked. Like that sort of thing. Yes. Absolutely. Fair criticism, Alex.
Agreed.
Not going to help if you come to the any of those situations wearing diamond rings and necklaces. Don't think that's going to help you. That's a child's understanding of how, like, the being poor, you get fucked by hospitals.
Like so you're okay. You're going into the ER. They're like, okay, can I have your insurance card? And you're like, excuse me, madam, I do not use insurance like the poor's.
Yeah,
I will give you this diamond ring and give me your finest medical treatment.
Or the idea of like you're super poor, you got to go to the hospitals the rich people go to because then they'll treat you well as a poor person at the rich hospital. Like, get the fuck out of here. What kind of nonsense is this shit?
Like we're in some sort of body swap comedy.
Yeah.
We're in the Prince and the Pauper scenario.
You fly
like,
under the radar because they have to give you the good treatment at the rich hospital.
Oh, sir, something terrible must have happened to you for your pants are not fully frayed.
And also, like, the idea of, like, you got to go to the rich hospitals because they're not feeding off them yet. The yet in there is also, like, But again,
I mean, hey,
the medical establishment is very unfair and cruel to people who lack resources.
Oh yeah.
So if Alex wants to talk about that, there's 100 directions he could go with it.
Yeah.
That I'd be, as the kids say, I would be here for that.
Oh, my grandma just had a stroke and, she's been in the hospital for forever. And now according to the rules of her insurance or something like that, if she's not showing consistent improvement literally every week, she will have to go to this this nursing home slash hospice thing, which is just going to bankrupt her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, so it's
I gotta
just
say,
this,
your,
like,
your
arbitrary rule.
Is so fucking stupid. She should have gone to the rich hospital.
That's a good point.
I can't understand
That's a
why.
Good point.
If only she'd listened to this January 3rd, 2013 episode of Alex's show where he unlocks
well,
the keys
Well, we sold all of her diamond rings to pay for the Uber to get her to the hospital because we couldn't afford the goddamn ambulance.
Classic gift of the Magi situation with healthcare.
If she'd have just come in right. wearing those diamond rings, everything would have been fine.
Oh, such a tragedy. So, Alex is, you know, he's mad at hospitals for dumb reasons, but he also is mad at vaccines for dumb reasons.
Yes.
And he has a story that he's telling about one of his employees who's, I guess, there, because he does imply that it's a dude that his wife or fiance or whatever had recently given birth. And, like, there's a dicey situation with the kid. He's not specific with the details. Also, it's a third-hand personal story, so I'm not interested in that. I'm going to leave all of it aside and just try and get to the content behind what he's talking about. And here he talks about how the globalists and hospitals are trying to kill pregnant women with vaccines.
Okay.
You remember just 4 years ago, everybody knew you don't give a pregnant woman a vaccine because the insert says can cause a miscarriage or brain damage the child?
Just 4 years
ago. It's just well known
ago.
For decades. And I got crew here who have wives who are nurses where they're pregnant and the hospital's like, okay, you don't have to take the shot because you're pregnant. Because the doctors still know that. But now they've come out in the news and said, no, if you're pregnant, you need extra shots. Folks, they want to just see if they can kill us right out in the open.
Okay. So that is going to lead people to not get appropriate health care.
Yeah.
That is a very stupid message that he's putting out. And here's one of the reasons. The issue here is that some vaccines are dangerous for people who are pregnant, but not all vaccines. For instance, any version of the inactivated flu virus vaccine should be completely safe to give to someone pregnant or not. Same goes for the tetanus and pertussis vaccine, the TGAP vaccine, provided that shot is given after the 27-week point in the pregnancy. Conversely, the MMR and chickenpox vaccines have the potential to be very dangerous to a pregnancy because they contain live viruses, and the body and fetus will respond differently to them to than to non-live virus vaccines. Beyond that, there are other variables that come into play, primarily related to the mother's medical history. For instance, if you have a history of chronic liver disease, a doctor might recommend getting a hepatitis A vaccine. There's a lot of variables, but if a person works with their doctor, generally risks are kept to a minimum. Alex is relying on speaking so non-specifically that his audience just accepts his argument purely based on feeling. He's pretending that all vaccines are the same, which is nonsense. He's further pretending that newer, better, safer vaccines aren't constantly being produced. So possibly one that was unsafe to give to someone during pregnancy years back now is, because of developments, R&D, those sorts of things.
No. Everybody knows that medical science doesn't change. Mm-hmm. Ever. Mm-hmm. That's why something that we knew just 4 years ago, which is that we had roughly 100 years before climate change would kill us all, is something that we no longer know on account of we don't.
Right. That's medical gaslighting.
Yeah.
I mean, clear cut.
Absolutely.
Like the idea that
agreed.
Like, you remember back when they told pregnant women not to get vaccines and now they want to give them vaccines, not dealing with the like the other details that surround the context of medical care. Like it's absurd. It's very bad.
And it has the structure of a hacky, like, what? So in the 80s, they say eggs are good for us. And then in the 90s, they say they've got too much cholesterol. And now in the 2000s, they're good for us again. Figure it out, guys.
Right. It does. You know? It does have that without the attempt at a joke.
Yeah.
Instead, you're just going to leave children getting pertussis.
Yeah.
You're going to get a whooping cough outbreak happening or polio coming back. So in this next clip, Alex finally gets around to reading the definition of gaslighting. And this is where it really – the show takes a – I mean, it's basically like someone driving drunk off and they just take a swerve off a bridge.
Okay.
This is where things go real
off. All right.
Off,
here we go.
Off course.
Gaslighting is a form of psychological abuse in which false information is presented with the intent of making a victim doubt his or her own memory, perception, and sanity.
So that's the definition of gaslighting that he is reading, and that is the definition that exists within the InfoWars world. Remember that. Do you need to hear it again?
No.
Did read it pretty quick.
I got it.
Okay. So in this next clip, Alex describes how this period, right now, beginning of 2013, because of the perceived gun grabbing that's going on,
yeah,
is the most serious time in his entire career. I believe this is gaslighting.
My friends, we are in extremely dark times. The darkest of my 17 years on air. And unfortunately, our worst analysis is coming true. The worst case scenario is now unfolding. You can probably tell I'm a lot more serious and focused on air. I'm a lot more angry. And it's because the globalists are hammer down. They are going for broke right now.
So that is inappropriate because he is not more focused. He is more angry. But I don't think he's more angry than other times in his career. And the idea that this is the most serious time in my 17 years on air. What about 9/11, you dumb asshole? What about Y2K? You were real serious on that day. You were real scared. Right at the beginning of his career was around when Oklahoma City happened.
Right.
Like, what about these? Like, why are you trying to undersell those other very serious things in your career when you are just afraid of this perceived danger?
I mean, I would say the 2007 financial crash would probably be way up there on the list of.
It would certainly fit his narrative better,
yeah,
than a lot of this stuff. So his definition of gaslighting, where you're trying to exploit people's memories and make them think that they aren't real, is fully demonstrated in there.
No.
This is the most important time in my career.
No. Play that definition one more time.
Gaslighting is a form of psychological abuse in which false information is presented with the intent of making a victim doubt his or her own memory, perception, and sanity.
Okay. Well, okay.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
According to the textbooks, Then yes, everything that Alex Jones has done in his entire career is a form of gaslighting.
But especially that clip. Yeah. Trying to make you distrust your memories.
Absolutely.
Isn't 9/11 the thing that you built your career on and is when the globalists made a coup and all that? Isn't that more serious than this imagined Illinois State Senate bill, that you got going on and maybe you're mad at Dianne Feinstein?
Okay. What did 9/11 lead to? Nothing, right? Now this gun control bill, that's going to lead to being called patriotism to kill people with guns. He's right.
Fine. So that's.
I think I just got gaslit.
Yeah, you did. So that's one example. This next one is so much worse.
And that's a psychological warfare term called gaslighting. It's a form of psychological abuse in which false information is presented with the intent of making a victim doubt his or own memory.
He reads it again. He reads the definition again.
He read it in exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Perception and sanity. Instances may range simply from the denial by an abuser that previous abuse incidents ever occurred, or even the staging of bizarre events by the abuser with the intention of disorienting the victim. That's why they'll have school drills unannounced where they aim guns at kids. It happened to my crew who's got kids in public school. They come and bang on the elementary and say, "We're here to kill you." And the kids all cry and get scared. And the teachers go, you know, following a manual, "We're sorry we had to do this. It's because of American gun owners." In one manual in Michigan, the feds issued, it was, "We're sorry to do this. This was due to homeschoolers and people against public education." That's AP. If you think I'm joking, they go, "Sorry, we just blew up a car in the front parking lot and came and said we were going to kill you." And children literally urinate on themselves. Teachers have had to go to funny farms over it. Literally, this has been in the news, have breakdowns where they marched people out saying they're going to kill them in mask and don't tell them it's a drill. That was in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
So, that's a lot.
So I think I do remember at least one time one of these drills was done without telling anybody and the national news picked it up and the entire country was like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah, but none of the, I don't know if that's true, but if it was, it's not the instances that we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely not.
We covered that homeschooling one, where he's talking about the kids peeing their pants and.
Right.
For now, because we've covered it already, suffice it to say Alex is misrepresenting that. Although it is funny that he says the teachers had to go to the funny farm about it. Very weird. I would spend more time on that one, but the last thing
I think all llama farms are funny.
They're pretty funny.
So that's probably where they went.
The last thing he brings up, that's a new one for our coverage. So I thought I'd look into that. Alex is asserting that there were drills where people in masks were marching people out as if they were going to be executed and not telling them it was a drill, which has led to people having breakdowns.
Whoa, yeah, that would.
In Minneapolis, St. Paul.
That fucking would.
Yeah, it would be fucked up.
Yeah.
What Alex is actually referring to is a helicopter exercise that the military had carried out in Minneapolis, St. Paul at the end of August 2012. It's something that they, from time to time, do in urban centers, and spokespeople have commented on how it's important for their training to carry out these exercises in unfamiliar areas so the pilots can do a little bit of improvisational navigation. One time when I worked at Groupon, the helicopter training exercise came through downtown Chicago, and I concede that it was pretty amazing and a little bit intimidating, but I didn't somehow think it was something that constituted a threat. Like, you're in this high-rise building, and there's helicopters that are, like, going by pretty close to, like, your window level.
Really?
That's fucked up. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was a weird sight, for sure. It was pretty quick, and everyone was just like, "Wow, we get 5 minutes where we're not working."
Yeah. Everybody turns and looks, and there's a helicopter flying by, and you're like, "Okay, cool, all right.
And then a couple of us meet at the swings with a LaCroix, and be like, "Wasn't that fucked up?"
Right.
All right, everybody gives a thumbs up
to Santa Claus and Superman all the time. Yeah.
So the Star Tribune article about this, which is used as a primary source on the InfoWars article about it, Paul Joseph Watson basically just copies and pastes like 3/4 of the article and calls it his reporting.
Brilliant writing.
It has zero mention of people in black masks, no mention of people having breakdowns. The closest it comes is saying that people who saw the helicopters thought they were loud and kind of annoying. The article does mention
That's a good summation.
Yeah.
You got to give it to him. That's terse.
I mean,
it's wonderful.
It, on InfoWars part, it does constitute over-reporting for Alex to be saying these sorts of things when the source material is like, "I fuck it, it was so loud."
That's borderline laconic.
The article does mention some on-the-ground exercises that were carried out as a part of this as well, but it very specifically points out that the bad guys in these drills were, quote, civilians paid by Special Operations Command to play the enemy. No one involved was unaware that it was a drill. There's no indication that things even happened the way Alex is describing them, and even if they did, no one was aware, unaware of what was going on. Quite literally, this is Alex gaslighting his audience, ironically in the middle of accusing his enemies of being gaslighters. Now, I will say, just in the sake of calling everything out and putting it out in the open, there is some concern that the military didn't give the public enough advance warning of the helicopters flying over their city. And I accept that there's some argument that could be made there about whether or not that's appropriate. You know, I could see that. When I worked at Groupon, there was no advance warning that they were going to fly by our building or anything like
that.
I didn't feel like I was somehow wronged by it or anything. And I didn't even understand why they were doing it. You read these articles where they're talking about, like, the idea of this landscape is unfamiliar. It's helpful for the training of the pilots and stuff like that. All right, I get what you're doing. Also, the military spokesman in this article who was interviewed explained that they'd formerly given 3 days' notice about these sorts of drills, but they found that it became a little bit of a spectator sport, where people would come out in large groups to gawk at the helicopters flying overhead, and that had the potential to introduce serious danger.
Oh, shit. That's a good point, too.
Right.
Fuck.
Because if these people knew that military helicopters were going to be flying over their city, because they're so low-flying, you introduce the risk of someone throwing a rock.
Oh, I would. Like at the very least, I would totally come out and be like, what? Look at that shit.
Right. Yeah. Or if you have, like, someone with ill will, and that's, of course, not everybody, but you have, like, 2 million people in Chicago or whatever.
Right.
All it takes is one person knowing in advance that they could throw flare at the helicopter and make it crash into a building or something like that. You introduce some really serious bad variables to it. Now,
I know a couple people who would go to the top of their building with a fucking bow and arrow and try and shoot it down. Like, they're crazy.
Does the danger that's introduced by telling people ahead of time justify not doing it to begin with? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. And I think that there's a legitimate conversation to have there, but it's not the conversation Alex is having.
No, absolutely not.
He's not even mentioning that it was just helicopters flying over. He's saying that
there are people
black ski masks
taking
people who didn't know it was a drill, execution, putting them on the knees and be like, haha, sorry, it's a drill.
Sorry, it's a helicopter drill. We were just trying to make sure you guys didn't throw rocks.
And then they end up having a breakdown. It's nonsense.
That's crazy.
He's gaslighting people, man. That's all that's happening here.
What's gaslighting again? Could you play that definition one more time?
I think I'll probably read it again at some point. So Alex is, I don't often play how he comes back from breaks, but this is one of the, like, four main things that he does when he comes back from break.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
That's gaslighting. His voiceover is gaslighting people. He aligns himself with truth. We absolutely know that he doesn't. He lies about everything. The entire structure of this show is gaslighting his audience. It's insane. And I know I'm making a big point of it, but it's because this show is all about the idea of accusing his perceived enemies of gaslighting. And this whole fucking thing is all that. That's all it is.
I just want you to play each clip and then afterwards play the definition of gaslighting. We might as well be there. Like, the fact that he has the definition of gaslighting that he's read on his own fucking show, that is a damning clip if there ever was one.
So, I would say his entire career, certainly the last years of it that we've been able to cover, dating back to the days of Endgame and what have you, Alex has been really mad that the globalists are eugenicists, something he's very against. I'm just going to play you this clip.
Okay.
And some of you will go, well, there are too many people. Have you seen how dumb the general public is? Okay, but you need to understand something. Yes, there's truth to some of the eugenics argument. I've never really talked about this on air because it's such a complex issue, and I want to make a whole film about it.
Don't do it.
But when you
Hold on.
They've been there sabotaging things all the way, doing things that actually increase the population and increased the population's...
Yeah.
Systems.
How are you going to land
forms
this one?
Of their systems to where it was more destructive on the environment.
Okay. Where are we going?
It's incredibly complex. In fact, I shouldn't even have gotten off into all this because.
You really shouldn't have.
The point is, they're trying to dumb people down, and they want more dumb people than smart people until they get control, and then they're going to wipe almost everybody out.
That's, boy, that's, that, I mean, there's nothing truer than him saying, I shouldn't have got into this.
No, he should not have gotten
he's
into
not
this.
Saying, he's not making any points other than, I feel well, like I wanted to make the point that some eugenics is good, but boy, I don't want to be specific about this.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said the first sentence. What am I doing?
I was about to say.
Systems. People, environment, bad.
Isn't he for eugenics? Kind of just showed up there, didn't it?
Well, I mean, the eugenics that he's against and the globalists are doing, in his perception, is against white people, and it is dumbing people down, that sort of thing.
Right.
That's the version that he is full-throatedly against.
Right.
But I've never, ever heard him say some of the eugenics argument is correct, which is fucked up.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Is
that gaslighting? So, towards the, this point of the episode, Alex starts taking calls ostensibly from Obama supporters. And he wants to do it to sort of clown on people, but this game never works because Obama supporters don't listen to his show. And what ends up happening is people call in and they say they're an Obama supporter just to get on the air.
Of course.
And then they're like, Obama sucks. And then he's
right.
like, aha.
Yeah, you got us.
And that happened. One of the calls, was this guy who was clearly joking about being an Obama supporter. He's like, I like Obama because he's great. Everybody should like him. Like that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And Alex
yeah.
treats him as if this guy is actually making a serious argument. And he's like, look at this deranged guy. And like, the guy is not serious. So that's the first call that he takes. And
I think Obama's great. Look at this Obama supporter. Yeah, I love him.
That's the first call that he gets. And I'm like, we're off to a bad start.
Yeah.
There's nothing worth really listening to it in that. You basically just did it.
Thank you.
So then Alex gets a call from a station owner. One of the, I don't know, owner, runner, who knows. But one of his affiliates.
Oh, we're going to keep you on our station.
No, this guy is not pro-Obama.
Oh, okay.
He actually has some ideas that Obama is not eligible to be the president.
Oh!
But it has nothing to do with the birth certificate, man. It has nothing to do with that.
It's a whole different thing?
Whole different thing.
But in order to qualify to be a candidate for the United States president, or to be the president, you have to have natural-born citizens, both parents. And even according to the United Nations laws,
United Nations
his father
laws.
Was a British citizen, he is a British citizen himself.
Yes,
now,
he's a dual citizen. I knew that. No, I knew that. And
everybody
it's never gotten
knew
attention.
That.
And the laws when he was born said you had to have both parents be citizens who were you know, who were actually born here. They've since, I believe, changed the law going from memory.
Nope.
But no, he is illegitimate, and they used the whole thing about where is he really from as a distraction.
It's only a distraction because you guys started a bunch of incredibly racist conspiracy theories about Obama not being a citizen. I don't care about any of that stuff, Jordan.
I just want to say, do you know how many presidents would not be eligible for the presidency? Let's just go, if that was in the Constitution.
You mean, are you going to talk about the founding fathers?
Let's just go with all of them.
Well, no, because in the Constitution, there is a caveat given natural born citizen or citizen at the time of the Constitution
right.
being passed. So there was a workaround for the early presidents. And stuff like
no,
that.
No, I'm just saying if they had both parents had to be.
Oh, yeah.
That kind
stupid.
Of thing.
That's
yeah,
not in there
that's
at all.
Ridiculous.
These are
of
making
course,
that up.
That's stupid.
That's an internet meme.
That's an insane thing.
That's
to
just
do.
Something from right wing message boards.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
But I left this clip in for a reason. And that's because I wanted to tell you about how I started reading a little bit about Obama's dad, Barack Obama Sr. And I found out that Obama's childhood home was located at 625 11th Avenue in Honolulu, Hawaii. That's about 5 blocks from my childhood home in Hawaii.
Really?
On the corner of 8th and Harding in a house that all the locals insisted was haunted. We both lived in Kaimuki, the neighborhood in Hawaii. Like, it's very close. I've 100% been around where Obama's childhood home was when I was a child and no one gave a shit.
Well, your home
like
was
sort of
your home was haunted, of course, by the ghost of his birth certificate.
Oh, the Kasha, the Japanese vengeful ghost of Kaimuki. The Kasha of Kaimuki is the name of it. You look into it.
They're around.
There's some websites you can find out about this ghost that lived in my house. But here's the thing. There's a lot of really weird parallels between my life and Obama's life. And if Alex really wanted to, I would love it if he tried to spin a fun conspiracy out of it.
Okay.
So I'm going to give him a few breadcrumbs.
Okay, here we go.
When I was a child, I lived a couple blocks from Obama's childhood home in Kaimuki in Honolulu, Hawaii.
All right.
There's one, Alex.
How old is Obama?
Older than me.
How old are you?
Younger than Obama. The timeline doesn't work out quite well.
Okay.
But my dad was at Harvard at the same time that Obama was at Harvard.
Hmm.
So my dad was studying for his doctorate in religious studies at Harvard.
Ooh.
At the same time Barack Obama was at Harvard. Then later, we moved to Honolulu.
Okay.
And my dad did research at the East-West Center, which is an offshoot of the University of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Obama was also at the East-West Center around the same time.
That's crazy.
Think about all these connections. Am I Obama?
Is your dad Obama?
Who knows? So, Alex, have fun with that. Do something. I don't know what you want to do, but do something with that.
That would have been the greatest reveal of all time.
My dad is Obama.
If you were, no, if you were actually Obama, if Obama had started a podcast with an asshole. and we in all of our photos.
Well,
he's been like, "Well, we
Kenny
can't.
Cassidy
we can't
me
have
up
him.
With some age regression software. Got me this nice beard, and all of a sudden, I'm doing a podcast about how this guy's an asshole because he said I smelled like sulfur during the last campaign. I found that very insulting, and so now here we are.
Solid reveal,
right? So yeah, I just want that. I want that to become a conspiracy that Alex spins somehow that I'm. Involved in Obama.
That you're, oh, you're Obama's secret love child.
Something like that. Who knows?
You could do that.
Why not? Here's the thing. We can't ever guess what the actual end result would be, but I want to know how all that information would be filtered by him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to know what those little factoids, the fact that we lived very near each other in our childhood homes at different times, but same neighborhood very close, to each other. My house was also haunted. My dad was at both Harvard and the East-West Center at the same time as Obama.
Right.
Go with it, buddy. Do something.
That does sound like an internet, like one
it's
of those.
Ready.
It sounds like one of those algorithm generator things where it's like you put in two or three bits of information and then it auto generates a conspiracy theory based around what Alex Jones would say.
There's more literal facts to this than so many other conspiracy
theories.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
I found these pieces of information out, and I told my dad. I was like, hey, you know, you were at Harvard and the East-West Center at the same time as Obama. And he's like, Obama was at the East-West Center? He had no idea. He's like, that's fucked up.
I do remember smelling sulfur. Oh, no!
A lot of flies.
Oh, no!
So this caller who is a radio affiliate goes on. This is just embarrassing because that idea that both of your parents need to be naturalized citizens or natural-born citizens.
Insane.
It's nonsense. It's not in the Constitution at all.
Absolutely not.
And that's fine for a caller to say, but it's fucked up to hear Alex agree with the caller as if, like, yes, I know this to be true, when it is absolutely not.
Yeah, no, it laws are not changed. You have to be a natural born citizen, or your parents at least have to be naturalized citizens.
Both of them.
Both of them. It's in the Constitution.
Why? Who
okay.
would put
that's,
that
that's,
in
that's,
there?
That's the way it is.
No, no, you're right, but I believe at the time that was the law, and you're right, it's in the Constitution. I think they claim they have a law that changed it, but you're right. It's in the Constitution. You can't do
write
that
a
without
law to change the Constitution.
A constitutional convention.
You can't write a law to change the Constitution.
No, he gets to that at the end. As you were talking over it a little bit, but he's like, that would require a constitutional convention, a con-con.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Which is fine, but all of it didn't happen. And all of it's not real.
None of it's
so,
true.
So, cool. I love that Alex is gaslighting his audience about the Constitution now. Like, the idea is like, it's next level shit. There's nothing here that isn't like emotionally manipulative and abusive towards the people listening.
Weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, of all the, like, for a patriot, like, liberty, freedom-loving show, the last thing you want to gaslight your audience about is the Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you're a propagandist. And then the first thing you
would... The only thing!
Well, if you're a propagandist, what you want to gaslight your audience about is, what is propaganda?
And Alex does that. Wait, he's going to do that?
He's going to define propaganda in a very gaslighty way.
But didn't he define gaslight by using the definitional terms for it? So wouldn't he then define propaganda by using the definitional terms for it?
No, he defines propaganda in a way that defies reality.
The word propaganda just means information to get something political done you want. Black propaganda means lies. White propaganda means truth. Gray propaganda means spin. I use white propaganda. So I want to be clear about terms.
Clear about the terms.
Out there. When I talk about gun violence lowering after gun ownership increases, and I have the FBI statistics, that's white propaganda. Okay, so I want to be specific about that. Go ahead.
That is not real, first of all.
Have you ever heard the terms white, black, and gray propaganda before?
I mean, I have from Alex. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so have you heard the terms white, gray, and black before?
I've heard white propaganda in terms of, like, white supremacist propaganda.
Right, see, now that
certainly.
One he's absolutely dead on. I agree with Which him in that he uses white propaganda.
Yeah, I think, actually, I probably have heard similar things from Kerry Cassidy. I think I probably heard some of that stuff. She does have this sort of, like, light and dark dichotomy in her
yeah.
worldview.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think I've definitely heard some of that idea of, like, but she also kind of does light and dark as opposed to white and dark. But whatever the case is, not in reality.
Right.
Propaganda.
Well, she does do gray propaganda, but only for the grays.
Propaganda is not just information used to get something done. That is an incomplete definition of propaganda.
Incomplete is a great way of putting it.
Yeah. And to tell your audience, like, what I do is white propaganda. That is, and the definition that he's providing of propaganda, that's gaslighting. That is
yeah,
100%.
Absolutely. Because if you're there, if you're at the situation where propaganda is so nebulously and not defined as to be literally saying anything to do anything, and then you create these subsets of propaganda where there's white propaganda, black propaganda, and gray propaganda, you're setting yourself up as a white propagandist. And because your definition of propaganda is saying something to do anything,
right?
Everybody else who is not saying the same thing you are saying is a black propagandist.
Or gray
propagandist.
But even in Alex's own conception of the shades of propaganda, he's a gray propagandist because
right.
the example
he's a 50 Shades of Gray propagandist.
Well, I don't know if he's into BDSM, but the example
I hope so.
I don't. The example that he uses is I showed you that crime rates went down as gun ownership went up. And he's implying that there's a causal relationship there, whereas there may not be.
Right.
So his definition of gray propaganda is spin. And based on his example of what I do as white propaganda, that is spin. So you're actually a gray propagandist, even in your own conception. And all of this doesn't matter. You're a fucking propagandist.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what white propaganda is? People telling you facts. Like, that's not propaganda. Information is not propaganda.
No.
That's why there was humor.
Remember when we did that episode on the guy?
The Bernays?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who invented the term?
Yeah, even he wasn't like, well, see, there's good propaganda and there's bad propaganda and then there's gray propaganda.
It's a marketing effort. And he fucking trained Jerome Corsi, who actually shows up on this episode, and it was so boring that we don't have any clips of it.
He didn't even bother to gaslight
us. I was really hoping he would have something to say about Sandy Hook, but all he says is like, he believes...
Whip! It's Sandy Hook.
No, it's just, you know, psych beds. You know?
Psych beds.
And it's just like, that's kind of a boring angle for Jerome fucking Corsi to have.
Psych beds?
Psych meds.
Psych meds. Oh, okay.
I was expecting him to come in with something really irresponsible, and it was just like, oh, this is Bush League. But yeah, this is an unfair definition of propaganda, and passing it off on your audience this way is unfair. It's no good.
Absolutely silly.
So Alex tries to get back to these pro-Obama callers.
Pro-Obama callers.
Right. He gets a call from this lady who is like, I am in favor of Obama, but I need you to understand I was a Ron Paul supporter. But as Ron Paul was unable to win the election, obviously,
yeah.
it became a situation where it's Obama or Romney and Paul Ryan, and they are clearly going to take away women's rights. They're going to infringe on my rights. So what the fuck am I supposed to do? I went with Obama. Like, what?
She has made the first reasonable argument.
You bet.
I can remember on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, legitimately, I cannot think of any more reasonable, and it's still an InfoWarsian argument. It's still like I don't trust Obama. I want that libertarian Ron Paul, but at the same time,
Mitt Romney is
a fucking Mormon who's going to take my uterus and force me to make babies with it.
It's naively believing that Ron Paul is somehow going to be better.
Oh yeah, no, he's going to do the same thing.
Right. But whatever the case is there, it is like the closest to like good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Logic.
And it throws Alex for a really weird loop. and he starts sort of moving the goalpost a bunch, like trying to make like completely unrelated arguments. And then finally the caller gets sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
And she just lays out what she thinks the problem in America is.
Alex, I want to say something controversial, and I don't care if it gets everyone mad, but I'm going to say, to me, the reason this country is going to you know where is because of old white men who are running the Senate and Congress who have been running it. We have, what, 1% of Mexican and black people that are in the Congress, Senate?
No, it's not. It's are you kidding? It's all-time record high. There's like 20 women in the Senate alone.
17. White old men running this country, the Senate
right,
and Congress.
Ma'am, hold on, man. I mean, are you really this ding-batted? Where it's just fun to, hold on, I know the Democrats are all about race. You sound like a white lady. I don't know if you are.
That right there alone is crazy.
All
right. The Democrats are all about race. You sound like a white lady. Like, those two.
So I wouldn't have expected this coming from you.
Those two thoughts are strange to come back to back.
But the point is, it's like just fun to put down white people. And I get that's fun. I mean, that's the new trendy thing.
No, old white men.
You know, jumping
very
off cliffs
different.
Is fun too. The point is that certainly, you know, ma'am, that Dianne Feinstein, you know, is a, quote, white lady, and she's saying turn our guns in. So if she's white, if being white's bad, I guess she's a woman, though. That must make it okay. Do you support us turning our guns in?
Her answer was, of course not.
Because the answer is, of course
she's
not.
She's trying to follow a logical line through,
yeah.
I make a point, you respond with obfuscation, I'll still go along with your point, whatever. The Senate releases demographic information about every single session of Congress. This was the 112th Congress, and here's the actual breakdown of it. 16.8% of Congress were women in 2012, with a total of 91 persons elected who were women, 17 of whom were in the Senate. Only 8.1% of Congress were African American, not a single one of them in the Senate. There were literally more radio talk show hosts than African Americans in the Senate that session. There were more former astronauts than African Americans. There were more former comedians than African Americans in the Senate in the 112th session. Because Al Franken.
Yeah, no, I got it. It took me a second. No,
yeah.
I got the Al Franken reference. Yeah. I got it right away.
The average age in Congress was 62.2 years for that session, which is considerably higher than regular years, generally speaking. And was the Congress was overwhelmingly white. This woman is not far off from describing the reality that she sees in front of her. Like, it's pretty accurate. She says that there is a 1% representation of African Americans in Congress, and then she says the Senate. Alex talks over her as she says the Senate.
Yeah.
And the number is actually 0%.
There you go.
White people made up 96% of the Senate and 82% of the House in that session. Nothing about the demographics of the 112th Congress comes even close to matching the demographics of the United States population.
Yeah, of course not.
The point that she's making is incredibly valid. Alex can't handle it, and so he starts obfuscating and trying to move the goalposts, change the argument that she's actually making, which you see happen so crazily here.
Yeah.
In this next clip, Alex accuses her of wanting the Mexican Congress to replace our Congress. Is that what you'd want? Because there's less white people in it.
So we just do a swap-a-rooney?
Basically.
Okay.
And keep this in mind.
That would be an interesting experiment.
What he's doing...
I wouldn't mind it, actually.
What he's doing is gaslighting her.
Hold on, ma'am. Did you hear me? The president is a puppet. We're talking about how you're supporting a puppet.
Alex, we can agree to disagree.
No, but see, you like Obama, but you don't like turning your guns in.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to ask you a question. Should we get rid of our Congress and put in the Mexican Congress? Would that make things better?
No, I think we should start all over. Period.
But wait a minute. You just said maybe we should go down to Mexico. That's kind of what the North American Union is, and bring all those great people, because they're Hispanic, up here to run. They would do a better job. I think she's actually right, folks. We got to continue here. Let's continue.
So in that clip, you heard him say, should we do this? He's presenting it as if he's asking her a question. She says no. And then he implies that earlier she said, we should bring all these. She never said that. Alex is just making that up. This is gaslighting. It's gaslighting his audience. It's gaslighting her live on the phone.
Yeah.
Pretending that she said something earlier that she didn't say.
Remember when you said that?
Changing her argument. It's insane. This is an abusive program.
Yeah. It is really insidious gaslighting. Mm-hmm. Like it's.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of. It's to the point.
The title should be The Gaslighting Episode.
Yeah.
Because he makes such a big deal out of it that we have to also, and you see it everywhere. When you pay close attention to it, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, it's so, because no matter how strong your will is, you are going to have unless you're a psychopath like Alex, you're going to have that moment where you're like, wait, am I crazy? Gaslighting is that constant.
Did
like,
I say that the Mexican Congress should be brought up? I don't remember saying that.
But I've said,
I don't think I said that.
Like
I said
a lot,
that the problem is that there's too many old white dudes.
Right.
In the Congress, which I think is a fair criticism.
It's a valid point. Did he come back and talk to me about that? No, he just said that we should switch the Mexican Congress in the, I don't remember saying that.
Hmm.
But I've said, you know what? This has gotten a little heated. I did say that and I didn't remember.
He has the ability to go out to break, so I guess he controls what the audience thinks.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's nuts. So he gets another pro-Obama caller, and in this call you'll see that this guy really isn't pro-Obama as much as he is anti-Republican, which is fine, but I don't think it's the premise Alex wanted.
Yeah.
But it's what he, it's not the premise he introduced, but it's exactly what he wanted to hear.
Let's go ahead and talk to Dave in Montana. Dave, go ahead. You're on the air.
Alex, I support Obama because I hate the Republicans so much, because they hate the 10th Amendment. They could have been in office. They could have ran away with the election. All they had to do was back up the 17 states that exercised the 10th Amendment
for marijuana
and allowed their people to use medical cannabis and to use cannabis, the hemp ruderalis part of the cannabis, for industry and jobs and
all right
and liberty.
No, I hear you. I'm going to go back to you, Dave. I'm going to go back to you. This is the best Obama supporter call we've gotten in the five or six shows or sections of broadcast that we've done.
No shit, because your callers generally suck. And this guy isn't pro-Obama. He's not making pro-Obama statements. He's saying the Republicans blew it, so by default I'm going to him, which isn't that different than what that woman was saying.
Yeah.
It's just she had other ideas that Alex was hostile towards. This is pathetic. Like, in terms of broadcasting. Also, he doesn't go back to him. He just puts him on hold,
of course not.
Starts pontificating, and then pretends that the guy hung up.
Well, I mean, he's a fun guy. I like Dave.
That guy?
I like Dave.
Dave from Wyoming?
Dave seems nice. Mm-hmm. Dave seems high as fuck, first off.
Sure.
And second, I just like his slow meandering tone. He's not in a hurry to finish a sentence.
That's why Alex put him on hold.
Yeah. He's not in a hurry to finish a sentence.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. So it's interesting because that call really was about the idea of like legalizing drugs and cannabis, whether it's for medicinal purposes or whether it's for industry, hemp, clothing, and what have you. Great. If you're a libertarian, you believe that everybody should be able to have these things and make their personal choices. His personal liberty demands it.
Yeah.
So that makes this next clip really hard to hear, if you imagine that Alex is a libertarian, because I think this flies 100% counter to libertarian ideology.
I'm not a big supporter of alcohol. I think it's more destructive than marijuana. And I'm for drug, you know, decriminalization, but also I think, you know, the state shouldn't be involved in alcohol. It should be a local thing, a criminal thing. You poison somebody with alcohol you sold, you're going to prison. Now you poison somebody with alcohol, you just get a fine. You see, but side issue.
No, that's not a side issue. I think a libertarian position on this, you want to maximize freedom, right?
Yeah.
If you drink a ton of booze, you will poison yourself. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
Yeah.
You have the personal choice to take as much alcohol into your body as you decide to.
That's true.
It is not upon the free market to dictate how much booze should be sold to you. There is no local, state, or federal government that should be able to step in and say what the business relationship between booze seller and booze buyer should be. Just because it's a danger to you doesn't mean you shouldn't have access to that danger. You are an adult. You are a free man. You have the choices in front of you to poison yourself with this booze. It has nothing to do with who sold it to you. The fact that Alex is, like, micromanaging this and making it should be a local issue as opposed to, like, the federal government.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so irrelevant at all to this. Libertarians 100% would be like, you drink yourself to death. No one else is responsible but you. You did that. You chose to do that in some way. Oh, sure, you got addiction. You had a choice to not have that addiction.
Yeah.
It's like the idea that Alex is saying that is like that is not at all in line with any libertarian thought that I've ever come in contact with.
Right.
Maybe there is some branch of libertarianism that is like, well, there should be some nanny state. I've never heard that. Nanny state, but local level.
Yeah.
I don't know that to be a robust part of libertarian thought.
Well, as somebody who's been kicked out of many a bar for being overserved, I can tell you, generally speaking, they were right the entire time.
Oh, I mean, I agree, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is, even a libertarian should have the wherewithal to be like, that one was on me, guys. You know what? You get this round. I don't want to sue the government over my free booze rights.
Well, I mean, we're, not libertarians. So
no, absolutely not.
We recognize the idea of like, well, if you're in a certain state, you are impaired and you don't know the extent of what you're taking into your body.
Yeah.
But that, there's no room for that within libertarian.
They tend to be very hard line on,
there's a lot of absolutes.
Yeah, they like absolutes.
Yeah, from everything I've experienced, with libertarians, there's very, very much, cut and dry.
Right.
White and black propaganda, no gray.
Which, as Obi-Wan has told us, absolutes lead to the dark side, Dan.
Right. So that's weird. It's very weird to hear Alex say that.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. So I also did, well, I expected this next clip. I was going to try and transition and be like, I also didn't expect to hear this, where Alex says something really fucked up. But I did expect this. This is stupid.
Okay, so do you not have to tell me how bad the Republicans are? The point is the Republicans represent the best people in this country. They are the people that soak up the energy of the libertarians, conservatives, constitutionalists, who compared to the average Democrat, are more productive, are more pro-human, pro-life, real people. Okay? I mean, the average Democrat I know is a helpless, disconnected from reality, incredibly weak, stupid person who thinks they're real smart.
What Democrats do you know? I mean, who is he talking about? But, I mean, like, it's one thing to, like, say that you're above the right-left, Republican-Democrat divide, all that nonsense. It's real hard to have that as your self-perception and then be on air being like, Democrats are almost not people. And the Republicans, I don't like them because they're not extreme enough, but they represent the best people.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I mean, he literally said Republicans are real people.
Yeah. Well, they're realer. Yeah. And I mean, it's
the Republicans soak up the energy of the libertarians and the, what are you, what, soak up the energy? Oh, do you mean, exploit your dumb bullshit in order to cut taxes for the rich, you goddamn moron?
I think it's probably, part and parcel of, like, the idea that, Democrats are into, generally speaking, the Civil Rights Act.
Yes.
And libertarians and constitutionalists and those sorts of folks are not.
Right.
And the Republicans are also not that much either. And so they soak up that energy.
They soak up the they soak it up and they spit it out through white propaganda.
And so the libertarians and the constitutionalists, all the sovereign citizens, all these folks, they find the Democrat policy set of positions completely unacceptable. And so where do they go? They go to the Republicans. Now, the Republicans are too close to the middle, too, because they're not as overt as the libertarians,
right,
constitutionalists.
Of course.
And all that set. So, yeah, that's what Alex is saying, basically. I mean, it's just they're not extreme enough. It's a bummer. That's what I was saying. I don't think that's
that's
shock
not,
to hear at all.
No.
But the sentence, the Republicans represent the best people, is a pretty... That sentence did surprise me a tiny bit. Because it's pretty overt.
What's the demographics for Republican voters? Do you think there's... would you say that there's a diverse set of Republican voters on the whole?
That's less than on the left, for sure.
Yeah, it sure seems like it, doesn't it?
Mm.
And yet they represent the
best
people. It almost seems like you're trying to say something.
Almost seems like that's gaslighting.
It could be.
Nah, it's more dog whistling, but whatever. Anyway, we have one last clip.
It could be gaslighting in the sense that you remember Republicans being garbage all the time.
And you saying that.
Yeah.
You remember you hate Republicans.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, they represent the best.
They do represent the best people, though. Even though they're awful, mm-hmm, and they're garbage, and the people they represent are garbage historically. Mm-hmm.
So Alex gets one final Obama supporter caller, and it would be way too long to play the entire call because this guy is really fucking articulate, and he makes a really good point. And that is that, like, I'm a business traveler, I live in Canada, and I'm all around. I go all over the world, and one of the most important things, I think, in the United States government, whether you're puppet or not, like, as a leader, is stability. And the idea that what Obama is bringing to the table is a real sense of stability, and it really makes a big difference around the world. The places that I go to, and it's really great to be able to come back to the United States. It feels better coming in when there is a sense of, like, a steady hand at the wheel, that
His
sort of thing.
His point could not be more prescient. Like, Obama, if you want to litigate the Obama presidency, we can go all day. We can do that. That's no big deal.
Right.
But if you want to litigate Obama's stability, his appearance of a stable presidency, you cannot.
Well, but
fucking stable.
Even with these people like Alex and all of the other people, Savage and Trump,
yeah,
trying to make tsunami waves
yeah
at him, like trying to rock the boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the ability to keep things moving. I mean, of course, bad choices here and there, obviously, and bad, very serious consequence choices.
For sure.
But yeah, the ability to maintain poise did make a difference in terms of stability.
Right.
So this guy is a pretty good caller, all things considered.
Yeah.
I give him a B+, because I'm never going to give an Alex Jones caller an A.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
That lady was kind of close.
Yeah.
She was kind of close, but I'd still probably give her a B+. Just because
we've had some high quality callers on the same episode.
I think that she had the potential to be a A- caller if Alex didn't talk over her a bunch. Cause I think she had some other points to bring to the conversation.
Oh, okay.
That
she
wasn't allowed to bring. And that's not her fault.
No, of course not.
That's not her fault.
That's like that's your base argument then for every caller not getting an A, because she had the chance to be an A-, but Alex talked over her.
No.
Literally everyone.
No,
who had the chance to be an
A-. Even whatever they bring to the table is a D.
No, for sure.
She had a B+ with what I heard.
Right.
But I also have to accept that I could be fantasy booking what Alex talked over.
Yeah.
She could have had some bad points in there too. That I didn't get to hear that would have brought her down to a C minus.
So, I thought Mitt Romney was going to take my rights away and I couldn't have these N words. Whoa, no!
Right. I don't think.
No!
I don't think there's any chance that that was where she was going.
Yeah.
But something else could have been, like, Federal Reserve is brought in by three people.
Right.
That takes you down, and that takes you down at least a letter.
That's a C. Yeah, that's for sure a C.
But she comported herself quite well, and so did that guy. That that guy was a really interesting call. I wish I would have pulled some clips from it, but it really wasn't that good of radio, really.
Right.
It was Alex kind of just being confused, and it's more important what happens after the call because Alex kind of loses it. He realizes he should have yelled at this guy.
Yeah.
And didn't.
He let too many good things come out.
Right. And so he doubles down at the end of this episode by just like, fuck, I gotta ramble.
It's real simple, okay, folks? If the globalists want your guns, you want guns. If the globalists say don't buy gold, you want gold. If the globalists say don't eat organic food, you want organic food. If the globalists say it's good to radiate your food, it's bad to radiate your food. And then you can go look at the reasons it's bad. But in every case, if they say something's good, you better believe it's bad. I mean, they call this modern world empowering women. Women aren't in power. They look like they've been run over.
I want to be clear. I have to pause the clip for a second. This has nothing to do with anything that was discussed in that guy's call or anything like that.
This is
a non sequitur. Him talking about women being empowered or anything like that.
This is just a laundry list of reverse psychology examples, I guess.
Weird.
Gaslighting.
They've been gaslighted into thinking they're ugly,
and
they don't have any value when their family
Bingo!
And everything is waiting for them and worshiping them, and they're running everything. Women have always been the center of everything. Women are running everything, and they think they don't have anything because the television is there showing them this imaginary Hollywood world. Let me tell you, that isn't what Hollywood's like.
We all know that Alex
he knows what Hollywood, he knows the Hollywood underbelly.
You can't keep me far. I'm not bragging. I get invited, not as much as I used to, but I get invited to behind the scenes, huge world events, world concerts, skyboxes at Formula One with, you know, top five world rock band and just, you know, constantly. And it's not that I'm against those people. They're listeners.
Nickelback?
Maybe I should go meet with them and stand around all fancy with bodyguards and, you know, preen. I mean, I guess that is success, but that is not what I'm into. And not because I don't like status. I want status amongst thinkers. I want status amongst strong men and women.
I want status
amongst artists.
You're in
not
trouble.
Not to be a peacock, but I want to influence them because I have a vein of primal human liberty that I want to infect people with.
Yeah.
I accept the infect part.
Yeah.
That one I accept.
Yeah, that's the only word that rings true. What you want to do is infect people with.
You want to infect people.
And basically a brain worm that you do. Like, this is just, like, this is crazy.
Now I wish John Ronson had interviewed the guy who asked him to do porn.
Oh, man.
That would have been
amazing.
So good.
Also possible that...
Yeah, he looked great. He showed me his penis. It was sizable. I thought he would have a good shot.
I mean, even as good of an investigator and journalist as John Ronson is, there's a pretty good chance it'd be impossible to find that person because they don't exist. That could also be a story Alex is making up.
It actually is Andy Daly as Don DeMello.
It could be. So we've reached the end of this episode, and like, I really think that I wanted more out of this episode. I want more out of all of our episodes.
Yeah,
quite frankly.
Of course you do.
I want there to be more thrust. I want there to be more truth. Anything. And there's just nothing happening here at the beginning of 2013. And there's not enough to dismiss also, or there's too much to dismiss. The idea of a bottle episode that we've just done essentially about Alex discovering the concept of gaslighting and then proceeding to gaslight at every possible turn. I think there's a pretty strong humor and irony to that.
Right.
But at the same time, it really doesn't help us understand him more.
No.
This is just a demonstration of him being a real pile of shit.
Yeah. It's almost cute. Is cute the word I would describe it? Like,
I mean,
it seems like him.
Absent consequences, it could be kind of cute.
Yeah, like he just, it's like somebody who turned the page on their word of the day calendar and realized that it, like the word of the day expressed so much about his life that he was so, hey, do you guys know what gaslighting is? Do you know what gaslighting is? Oh my God, I can't wait to tell you all about this. And then people are like, Yeah, we got it. It's okay. And then he goes to the next fucking table and does it.
No, but then, but before he leaves that table, he tells those friends of his at that table things they didn't do in the past and pretends that they did and holds them accountable for things that they didn't do.
Holy shit, guys. I just learned about the word gaslighting. Do you know what gaslighting means? Yeah. I know. So do I. I've always known what gaslighting means, and you know that I have always known what gaslighting means. I know what it means, and have for forever. I definitely didn't learn it today on my word of the day calendar.
How dare you suggest what I just said?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It brings us to the end of this, and, I don't know. It is what it is.
I think I you know what? It's a troublesome truth, but it's always nice when we have multiple candidates for people who technically probably haven't killed a guy.
And we don't know their names because they're just these callers.
I like Dave. Dave is
from Wyoming.
Dave is definitely not well, actually no, Dave is from Wyoming. I feel like half the people in Wyoming have a murder charge.
Well, or at least like a vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah.
All those DUIs. Yeah, I don't know.
Not funny.
Let's leave him off the list and probably just say that lady is doing good. So we'll be back with another episode on Monday. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
That's right.
Then you could go to the Twitters.
That's right.
It's at knowledge_fight.
You bet it is.
You could probably go to, what's the other one?
Facebook!
Committing crimes all over the place, but you can join our group. Go home and tell your mother you're brilliant.
That's right. We're also
no
on
crimes
iTunes.
Committed there. We are on iTunes. Download.
Subscribe. Overcast.
Leave a review.
Podcast Addict.
I like Overcast. It's good.
You know, we'll be back. But for now, I do feel like that lady who called in, who brought up how old and white and male the Senate is, or the entire Congress is. I think she was onto some shit. I doubt she's ever killed anybody.
I support somebody.
One guy who technically probably has. And based on John Ronson's
reporting,
piece, maybe didn't kill somebody, or maybe it's a whole other person than
yeah.
that guy who he almost, oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, it's a mess.
Terrifying. Terrifying to imagine what damage he's done to people's lives.
Yeah.
But
he still technically probably
killed,
a guy.
And that's Alex Jones.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.